We're going to learn from the Noam Elimelech, the second Ma'amar, where it says, Be'oi Yomar Ve'hi B'Shalach. Parashat B'Shalach. And the parasha starts, Ve'hi B'Shalach Et Ha'am, when Hashem has sent the nation of Israel out of Mitzrayim. Deita Bagmara, it says Bagmara, Ha'olech Badech Ve'en Imo Levaya Yasok B'Torah. If a person is going in the on the road, going on a journey, or even just for a regular walk, whatever it is, and he doesn't have somebody with him, accompanying him, that he should learn Torah while he's walking. As it says in the Kriyat Shema, Uvelechtecha v'derech. Even when you walk, you have to learn Torah. It says, Ve'avda et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. That's what we learn in Kriyat Shema. And after that it says, when you get up, when you go to sleep, when you're walking in the street, in your house, every free moment that you have to learn Torah. Even when you're walking in the street, you should chant Tehillim or Mishnayot or whatever you know to self by heart, or Psukim from the Torah. So the Talmud says, if you're walking and you don't have somebody with you, then Yasok b'Torah, should learn Torah. Now it's not so clear what he's saying. Lichora, seemingly, alo belav achi uchmechoyav temid lasok b'Torah. But why are you telling me that? You're obligated in learning Torah every free moment. Every free moment that you have to learn Torah. And if you don't, this is bitul Torah. As the Tana says, hamealech badech yechidi umefane libo levatala. There's a Tana that says in Pirkei Avot, in the Tractate Avot, in the Mishnah, a person who walks by himself, umefane libo, that is emptying his heart, so to say, levatala, mitchayev benafsho, he's putting himself at risk. That's what the Mishnah says. I mean, he doesn't continue here. He says here vechulo, but the Mishnah continues, umefane libo levatala, that his heart, so to say, his heart, his mind, is thinking of nonsense. Mitchayev benafsho, he puts himself in risk. V'nira li liten tam lemitzvat levaya. So obviously, if the Tana says in the Gemara that you have to walk with a companion, with somebody escorting you, obviously there's some type of a reason for the mitzvah of levaya, to accompany somebody. We read every morning when we prepare for shacharit, we mention a certain mishnah about certain mitzvot that you get a reward in this world, but you also get a reward in the world above. Should have said it different. You get a reward in the world above, but also get a reward here. And one of them is alvayat amet, is escorting a person that passed away. So there's obviously some type of a mitzvah, something in the idea of escorting somebody else. Kshehat tzadik melave et chavero, hem mitkashrim ze baze bekdushatam. When a person is escorting another person, I don't know if escorting would be rather the right way to translate it, accompanying and walking together, they, when they are together, they become one. They become, the word that he's using is mitkashrim. Now, you can translate the word mitkashrim as they call each other, but you can also, that's a more of a modern way of translating the word. But when it says leitkasher, comes from the word in Hebrew kesher. Kesher is a knot, and when you take two ropes and you tie them together, this is called they mitkashrim ze baze. They become knotted into each other. So when two individuals are, so to say, walking together, their neshama, their soul, mitkashrim ze baze, bikdushatam. Bikdushatam means in their holiness, their soul becomes one. Meaning that right now we're all sitting here, then our souls are being knotted to each other. I don't know if that's the right word to say it in English, that the souls can be knotted, bound. But I specifically am saying the word knotted because it's like a kesher.
Intertwined.
Maybe intertwined. But take the word knot.
Connected.
Connected. There's many words to say how we can get connected, but specifically the word in Lashon Kodesh is mitkashrim, coming from the word kesher. Kesher is a knot. Why specifically a knot? Because a knot is very hard to release. Any other way of a connection might not be so hard to release. A knot, I'm sure it happened to you many times, that your shoelaces, they get into a knot, and you're spending now 20 minutes trying to figure out the little knot and try to get it out from each other and start bringing all sorts of tools, and drives you nuts. Sometimes you just cut the knot, the whole shoelace. The knot drives you nuts. So this is why specifically he's using the word a knot, because it's something that is tight and hard to release. So we're sitting here all right now, our souls getting connected in like in a knot. They're being tied to each other. Excuse me? Yeah, of course, when we learn Torah, I'm not talking when we're sitting here and telling each other jokes. When we sit and we learn Torah, right now it says, "Asara yoshvim velomdim Torah, shchina shruya b'nehem." 10 men are sitting and learning Torah. The shchina is dwelling within them right now. The shchina is here. You don't see it, but it's here. So of course, when we sit and learn Torah, if we're sitting here, what's called b'moshav leitzim, when we're joking with each other, or chas v'shalom talking lashon hara, or anything negative, then of course there's not going to be any knot there. When we're sitting and learning Torah, or talking divrei Torah, or words of inspiration and strengthening each other, then there is a connection between the neshamot. Thank you for pointing that out. Maybe somebody would get it wrong, that let's sit in a bar and we're all getting connected. So thank you for pointing that out. It has to be a sitting that we're learning Torah, of course.
He was talking about a tzaddik who walks with his friend, and they don't even have to talk.
Yeah. Here, the way the Noam Elimelech talks to, when he says tzaddik, he refers to us. He calls us simple people tzaddikim. When he talks about the real tzaddik, he says tzaddik ha-emet or tzaddik ha-amiti. Well, this is the way the Noam Elimelech talks to. It refers to in his teaching that he calls us tzaddikim. But yeah, it says here that when they're just walking next to each other, it says the word tzaddik because they're talking, referring to a person that if you and me are walking in the streets, of course we're going to talk about Torah. We're not going to talk about the game last night. So he's referring to us as tzaddikim. Now, mitkashrim ze beze bikdushatam v'ne'asim ke'echad, and they become one. וקדושתו של זה הצדיק העוסק בתורה בביתו הוא משמר את חברו בדרך כאילו עצמו עוסק בתורה מחמת התקשרותם. Look at that, how amazing. Many times you hear that, but you never realize where the source is coming from. He's saying here that when I sit in my home and learn Torah, העוסק בתורה בביתו הוא משמר את חברו. I'm taking care of my friend. It's protecting my friend that is in the baderech, that is on the path, on the walk. Keilu hu atzmo osek b'Torah. As if like he's learning the Torah, the person is on the road. Why? Because they have a itkashrut, they have a connection between them. Aval mi she'en imo livaya, tzarich be'atzmo lasok b'Torah. If somebody doesn't have a companion, somebody walking with him, then he has to lasok b'Torah, to learn Torah. זהו כשהצדיק הוא המלווה. That's when the tzaddik is the one who's accompanying, the one who's teaching the Torah, talking the Torah. אבל אם הוא איש נעצב ורקן, אין תועלת לזה במה שזה מלווה אותו. If he's a person, he says איש נעצב, a person that is sad, ורקן, a person that empty, there's no Torah or מצוות, אין תועלת לזה, there's no benefit in it, במה שזה מלווה הוא. When a person, another person is accompanying him. ואדרבה, הוא מכניס בו עצבותו ומפסיקו יותר מקדושתו שיש בו. The person that is sad or heavy or empty is actually pulling the other person towards him. This is what it means when it says in the parasha, וזהו ויהי בשלח פרו. When it says that פרו has sent the nation of Israel, it was Hashem that did it. Why are you saying Paro? Why are you giving him credit? But it's coming to explain to us. רוצה לומר, מחמת שפרו שילח את ישראל, מחמת הצרות שנגעו בו. The Paro was, so to say, was willing to give the nation of Israel away, to send them away, only because of the quantity of problems that affected him. All these plagues, they affected him directly. It destroyed his country, destroyed the economy, destroyed his money. Everything was a destruction. So it affected him. Lekol makom shenemar v'yehi eino el hatzara. We know that. Every time you will find in the Torah the word vayehi, it means there's going to be a problem there. Look with Avraham Avinu, vayehi achar hadvarim haele. Also, there was something not so pleasant. He went to sacrifice Yitzchak. And many times we find in the Torah the word vayehi. When there's the word vayehi, there's going to be a problem. ומחמת זה הכניס את ישראל גם בעצבות. Now what happened was that Paro himself fell down to a level of sadness, of atzvut, so he, so to say, transferred it over to the nations of Israel. ולכן, it says, that's why it says, ולא נחם אלוקים. That's why Hashem says he didn't comfort אלוקים, didn't comfort the nation. כי אם לא היה פרו מלווה אותם, היה השם יתברך מוליכם. Because if Paro wasn't the one who was escorting them, then it would have been Hashem that used to would escort them. Where? Specifically, Derech Eretz Plishtim, through the land of the Plishtim. Ki kdushatam hayta meshameret otam. Because their holiness of the nation would save them. Aval michamat Paro shehifsikam mikdushatam. But since Paro was able to stop them from their holiness, from dealing with the Torah, how? Be'atzvuto, with his sadness. Lo ratza Hashem itbach, lo licham derech eretz plishtim. Hashem didn't want to walk them through the land of plishtim. Ki karov hu, rotze lomar, because it's, the verse in the Torah says, ki karov hu, because it was too close, meaning, wanted to say, zekai, this goes on, aparo, on paro, michamat she'ata mekarov halach, paro mi'etzlam. Since Paro was close to them, he was walking close to them, והיה עדיין רושם עצבותו בהם, and Paro was still affecting them in his sadness or depression. ולכן, ויסב, therefore the Kadosh Baruch Hu went around and turned them around. Saying in other words, that because we always like to see how is that connected to us. First of all, it comes to tell you something very simple, that every free moment that you have to lasok b'Torah. You have to learn Torah. Interestingly, it says the words lasok, not lilmod. Lilmod is to learn. Lasok comes from the word esek. Esek is a business. And you know, many men, they have a problem, it's called the workaholic. Some men are lazy, they don't work at all. Or they don't want to work. Some men are smart, they work a little bit what they need and they finish and they go and do what they need to do, what they want to do. Spend time with the kids, learn Torah, go fishing, whatever they're on their agenda. But many people, they have an issue, it's called the workaholic, and they can't get enough. Now that usually will happen when you run your own business. When you run your own business, you say every moment that I'm there, I'll make more money. Or I'll make the business more efficient. So the same way, and usually you know when you do that, when you make more money. When you make more money, it inspires you to stay in the business more because you'll make more money. That's why the sages say, Ra'ev lekesef lo yisva kesef. A person who's hungry for money will never have enough. So specifically the Torah says, you have to deal with the Torah like a business. And it has to be efficient. The same way that you wake up early in the morning to be the first in the market to get the best product, then and you invest the best of your time, and the same way the Torah has to be dealt like a business. So it's interesting that he says Ya'asok b'Torah and rather not Lilmod. But first of all, he teaches you something very simple, that every free moment that you have to learn Torah, and you have to find those free moments. But nevertheless, he comes and teaches how important it is to learn in a pair and to learn with somebody. For many, many years, I used to like learning by myself. And I said, you know, learning with other people, it's slowing me down. And not only that, if it's somebody else, unless that somebody else is way above my level and he's teaching me, I just found it much more comfortable learning by myself. And for many years, I would learn by myself. That's kind of, by the way, how this place was born. Because for the first year that I was in Tzfat, different individuals told me, when do you learn? I said, I have my seder when I learn. No, when? Maybe I'll join you. I said, well, I learn from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. You want to join me? So you're more than welcome to join me. If you want, you can bring a pillow and you can sit next to me while I learn. So, but there were a few individuals that says, I want to learn with you. And I said, well, the offer is not on the table. I don't like learning with people. No offense. No, that's what I answered the few people that asked me that they want to learn with me. I said, I learn at night. I learn when it's quiet, when it's dark, when nobody's there, when I can concentrate. So the reason, one of the many reasons why we initiate this group of learning, because many came and told me, you know, it's not fair, you're teaching just the ladies. I mean, we have the ladies in a seminary that opened a year and a half ago, and many men says, it's not fair, why are you teaching the ladies? You must learn yourself. And now in my mind, I was like, please don't bother me. Please, I have my nice seder. I like praying by myself, quietly. 2 years I lived in Tzfat, nobody knew where I'm praying. Everybody tells me, where do you pray? I don't need you to know where I pray. Then you'll find me. So, yeah, so I was happy. And for many years, that's how I liked it. I liked being not found, not traced. I can pray where nobody knows me. I can't be bothered. I won't be bothered. And I sit and learn quietly. But obviously Hashem doesn't ask me what I want. And he says, no, you learn much better when you learn with others. Because you're able to become knotted one soul and another soul, and it's affecting another soul. And you know, we have Shlomo, for example, went on a journey, so the fact that he's part of the group, our learning was affecting him. And the other Shlomo went now on a journey, so it's affecting him. When it becomes a group, then even if one is missing, because Adam today had to go and make some errands, he can't learn with us. So our learning is affecting our classmate, our friend, I don't know how to call it in English. But this is a very, very deep thing here to understand, chaver, yeah, a friend, that's how we are connected to each other. We need to make these knots between our neshamot, because originally we're the same soul, and we're just separated in bodies. And the Torah is not only private for what I learned. The Torah is for the entire nation of Israel. And my Torah is affecting everybody else. So especially the way the Torah has to be learned is in a group, or in pairs, or in small groups, because my Torah is affecting another person. Now he comes and tells that Paro had a depression problem. Maybe he had Xanax, I don't know what he was taking then. Okay. But Prozac.
Xanax, actually.
Yeah?
Xanax.
What's Xanax?
It's a pill for somebody who's yeah, so I don't know what Paro was taking. Maybe Paro was taking Prozac, Parozac. So
Parozac.
Yeah, maybe that's where it came from. But obviously Paro went into depression that he saw that his nation got destroyed, his country got destroyed. But nevertheless, that affected the other person. I have to be aware that other people's energy affects me. And, you know, I spend about 2-3 hours every day. Sometimes it goes to 4 and 5 hours. But I spend either face-to-face or on the phone and talking with people. And the more the time goes, then the meaning shortens and the more people. Because the request and the demand goes higher and higher. So, and Baruch Hashem, we have a very large audience online and popularity. It's a lot of people. They want to ask a question. They want to talk. So once I used to give an hour call. Now it's 10 minutes because there's no time because there's a lot of people. But sometimes I will sit and I on the phone, am I talking, and my wife sometimes will overhear. And it's not that I'm talking with people that they're reporting to me how life is good and how everything is amazing and how they're very successful. And it's only the problems of the entire world. This guy is sick, this guy doesn't have money, this guy's wife cheated on him, this guy's kid is like this and like that. And it's hearing everybody's problems all day long. And you can't even imagine the problems. If you think you have problems, and sit next to me 1 hour every day, you'll hear that you don't have problems. You're going to be hopping all day long from joy, hearing the other people's problems. And one time my wife told me, how do you do that? How do you sit for 3 hours, one conversation after the other, and all you hear is people's problems? And problems that that you don't even have a solution. It's not that somebody's asking you a certain question and you have a solution. It's just hearing somebody's problems and trying to give them some chizuk. So I always give the same answer, and we learned that 2 weeks ago, and we're learning now some laws of basar v'chalav, dairy and meat, is that there is a rule when one of the topics when you learn for to get a smicha, not a blanket, to get a rabbinical ordination, one of the topics, I'm saying blanket because once I told somebody smicha, he says, why do you need a blanket all the time? I told him, no, I'm talking about smicha le-rabbanut, a smicha, so ordination as they call it. So one of the topics is referring to, it's called melicha. Melicha is salting the meat when you kosher it. And it's referring to how, who, when, all the rules. Now the way it works is when you want to kosher a piece of meat, then you put it on the table and you have to spread salt on it. Now what's going to happen? The salt has the quality to suck the blood out of the piece of meat. Now, imagine now how much meat is being consumed every day in the kosher world. Just imagine how many chickens a month need to be slaughtered. Let's say we're looking at about 1 million people that eat kosher food, probably like 3 or 4, but just for the sake of the example, about 1 million people eat kosher food. So you're talking here at least minimum 1 million chickens a month that need to be slaughtered. Minimum. You eat at least 1 or 2 chickens a month. Just imagine the quantities. Now, where do they kosher it? How do you kosher such quantities of meat? Now, imagine if you would have to now spread all these pieces of meat. You need like football stadiums to spread all the meat. How do you do that? So go to a kosher factory and you'll see they have a piece of meat. They put a little bit of salt, put another piece of meat on it, spread the salt, put another piece on it, spread salt. They have these towers of meat. Comes a question in halakha, what happens if one of the pieces is not kosher? Happened to me, the shechita wasn't done well, the animal was trefa, whatever it is. What happens if one of the meat you find out is not kosher? The whole pile now became unkosher? Because if it's unkosher, then the taste that it will spit out will be unkosher. What do you do? So the halakha answers that whatever is busy spitting out, ejecting, cannot take something in. We spoke about it 2 weeks ago. We were learning a little bit of basar and chalav, and when you kosher something, how do you kosher something? You put the cup, the spoon, whatever it is in the boiling hot water, it's spitting out the taste. How come the pot doesn't become not kosher? Or anything else. I mean, I'm putting unkosher taste in the water. The next thing that I put in will absorb the taste, no? So the halakha says, no, whatever is busy spitting out can take in or ejecting out. In Hebrew, it's called liflot. So going back to the question of my wife, she was like, how don't you get affected? How could it be that you deal with so many issues and you don't get affected? How doesn't make you depressed? She told me, if I would be sitting on the phone like this, like you every day, I will become depressed. So I told her the same idea. Whenever something is busy exporting or giving, it doesn't take in. That's the way it works. And if you're not busy with exporting, or I never found the right word in English. We found exporting and spitting and expelling. I don't know. It's literally, the word in Hebrew is liflot, is to spit out. But nevertheless, I told them when something is busy giving, it can't take in. And yeah, mashpia. It's one way of lashpia. But I wouldn't say mashpia because I'm just getting rid of something. When I'm busy getting rid of something, I can't absorb. If we're sitting now and talking, and I'm talking and talking and talking and talking, doesn't matter how much you're going to talk, I don't hear you because I'm busy talking. And this is in a negative way. But in a positive way, if I'm busy giving, then I can be affected. How many times you go to a certain place or you have a certain friend that pulls you down? Sometimes, you know, my wife will come and says, oh, I was just met so-and-so. Ugh. You know, she pulls me down, her energy. So our energies are very, very strong and it's affecting each other. Sometimes people, their energy is so strong, there's a person will walk into a room and it will affect the entire room, either with a very positive energy, and it will affect the entire room in a very positive way, and sometimes it's a very negative energy. And sometimes, you know, not too long ago, we had here a big Shabbat meal, 60, 70, 80 people, one guy was in a very, very, you know, aggressive energy, very upset. The whole table was feeling the energy. One person affects, I mean, the energy of the person has to be very powerful. On the other hand, sometimes you can have a party, 100 people, one person walks in, he's like the life of the party. Suddenly the whole place is... The Rizal says that our energy, so to say, reflects, it projects like about 6 meters out of us. And when I go, my energy is affecting everybody around me. Now, if my energy is very, very powerful, it will affect other people. How do I don't get affected by other people's energy? Sometimes you do. You go to a certain room, you get depressed. And you look, why am I so upset now from this meeting? Yeah, because that person's energy is so powerful. It's so affecting you that you literally get affected so much that you become like that, both the positive and the negative. So, I need to know that my energy is projecting. That's why it's very good before you come home, if you had a bad day, don't go right away into your home. Go outside, read some Tehillim, relax. That the energy that you come into the home is not so negative. That's how what happens many times, especially with a man. He goes and works, he's under stress, business, work, whatever it is. He walks into the home with this energy. The whole house is like tense. Better to sit there, relax, sit on your porch, whatever it is, pray, read some Tehillim, relax. So the energy when you go in is different. So our energy is very, very powerful. And I have to be considerate to people around me. If I'm in a very bad mood, so to say, it's nobody's fault that you're in a bad mood, that you have to project it on somebody. But rather, I want to know that my energy is powerful and it's actually affecting other people. So much more so when it comes to being affected by somebody. How can I not be affected negatively by somebody? Is that my energy is projecting out. Here he's saying, in other words, that Paro was so powerful and his energy going down pulled the entire nation down. That's why specifically Hashem took them around in the desert. He wanted to get rid, so to say, rid of the energy of Paro. Because he says, if I'm going to take them the right route with this heaviness that they went to, then they will probably want to make a U-turn and go back to Mitzrayim. So specifically, Hashem took them around sometime, meaning in other words, you have a bad day, don't let it affect other people. Go for a walk. Take a walk. Go around. And relax a little bit. Why? Because everything that I do will affect everybody around me. Completely. It actually says that the Father is what is the intellect, is corresponding to the level of Chochmah. And the mother is more Bina, she's affecting more the attributes. Till the age of Bar and Bat Mitzvah, the kids get affected directly from the parents. What the father will be thinking all day long will affect the kid right away, directly, like a Wi-Fi, like a wireless connection. After bar and bar mitzvah, they already become a little bit more independent. But whatever I think throughout the day affects the child right away in their thoughts. And whatever the mother is going through emotionally, then it's affecting the midot of the child. And you can see it sometimes on the kids. You see a very aggressive father, the kids become very aggressive. You see a father that is more, the mind is more pure, specifically the thoughts, then the child is, the mind is more pure. And that's why it's very important what the father is thinking throughout the day. If the father is thinking about, you know, impure thoughts, it's going to affect the child. And the mother, of course, if the emotions are in a storm of emotions, it will affect the child. So my energy is connected. We're all connected in one way or another. So I have to have the constantly the Ahavat Yisrael. Ahavat Yisrael is not just me carrying your bag when you need help. It's to understand that my Torah affects everybody. And my Torah, the more pure it is, the more it will affect another person. A person from our group, from our friends, from our congregation goes abroad, you pull out a bill and you tell him, here, take a shliach mitzvah, be my shliach. You know, probably be better if you sit and say, okay, let me read a few Pirkei Tehillim, I'll say a little bit of Tehillim, so you to have a safe journey. And we all are accountable for each other, and our Torah is supporting each other. So it's teaching us a very beautiful way here of mamash, what it means, Ahavat Yisrael. And of course, this also will work on the negative side. I want to take it more on the positive side. How important it is that's why specifically the Torah is about building a congregation and building a community. And you know, usually in a congregation, a community, or a group, there's always going to be difference of opinions. That's a given. The point is how we're bridging between all opinions, that the connection is a solid connection, like these knots. That's why at the beginning we're talking about a knot, not a connection or unity or all these words that we're trying to find out. Specifically a knot. Because when you have a knot, it's very hard to release it. And that we read that a few weeks ago when Yehuda came to Yosef, and when Yosef demanded to bring Binyamin, what did Yehuda answer him about Binyamin and Yaakov? I can't bring him. Why? Ki nafsho kshura b'nafsho. His soul is tied with his soul. It's very hard for them to part. So, in essence, we are all tied to each other. I just need to understand that it's not only about me. When I learn Torah, it's for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. I'm sitting and learning Torah right now, I'm affecting the entire world. And if I'm not sitting and learning Torah, I told you many times, that's what used to motivate me when I became observant. It was hard for me to battle all my Yetzer Hara and constantly to pay attention, what to do, what not to do. It was very hard for me when I became observant. What was keeping me, so to say, on my toes, is that if I was about to do a sin, I would say to myself, you know, somebody will get hurt from that. Maybe my mom, Chas V'Shalom, maybe my child, maybe a good friend of mine, maybe somebody on the other side of the world, some Jew in New Zealand, is going to get hurt now because I did this sin. And it would affect me. I would actually take that seriously and say, you know, I'm going to stop myself. I'm doing now something. It might affect somebody on the other side of the world. So we are connected to each other, and we have to understand how our actions are affecting not even the people that are close to us, affecting us completely as a nation and affecting us completely as a mankind. I mean, one of the great things that's going to happen when Mashiach is going to come, we're all going to be depending and helping each other. It's not going to be anymore this mine and yours, and all the nations are going to be connected in a way that we're all going to be helping and supporting each other. It's not like now that everything is business. There's not going to be economy when Mashiach comes. One country is going to grow potatoes, so it's going to give the potatoes to the country that grows rice and wheat, and it's going to be exchanging. This is the Baal HaSulam 100 years ago started already applying that. If you look at the communities that follow the Rav Ashlag, they're applying the idea that it's all together and we're supporting each other. And you are a lawyer and I'm a doctor, so when I need a lawyer, I go to you, and you need a doctor, you come to me. And we help each other. So we have to start to applying this, how am I helping the people around me, both spiritual and physical. Bezrat Hashem, if we know how to apply that the right way, we're also going to go out of Mitzrayim. You have to be very careful not to be affected by the paro, the yetzer hara, because when the paro is very powerful and he pulls himself down, or he gets pulled down, then he pulls us down with him. You have to be very particular, and the only way of doing it is the only way. We talked about it in the morning. It's only learning Torah. Torah is the only way to ignite the spark. There's no other way. When a person, the spark is being diminishing, Torah is the only solution. Bezrat Hashem, we should zoche to become from Yoshvei Yoel and learning Torah, and just to learn Torah all day long. And that's very soon going to happen when Mashiach is going to come. We're only going to be learning Torah. Bezrat Hashem. רבי חנניה בן עקשיא אומר, רצה הקדוש ברוך הוא לזכות את ישראל, לפיכך הרבה להם תורה ומצוות, שנאמר, אדוני חפץ למען צדקו, יגדיל תורה ויאדיר. אמן.